Welcome to Clueless with Ogre and Big Paulie. Welcome to another episode of Clueless with Ogre and Big Paulie. Big Paulie, how are you this evening?
Oh, absolutely low-flying, Ogre. And I tell you what, I think it's a bit of a stuff you to all those people who said we wouldn't make it. But here we are, five episodes in. I think we're just about ready to be nominated for a Grammy. Maybe it's not too far away.
The benchmark is seven. The benchmark is seven episodes. We get past that, we're in the top 25% of all podcasts ever made.
Well, that's encouraging. We could very well be on the cusp of greatness here, Ogre, and couldn't be happier doing it with somebody like you, as clueless as me. How's your week been, Ogre?
It's been good, and I was going to just lead you into it, Big Paulie, but guess what I've been doing tonight? Oh, well, you could have said many things, but I've been out cooking a barbecue, mate. Brand spanking new barbecue, first cook. Only a few episodes after our great Scotty Dell story, the barbecue cleaner, and there I was. You were telling us previously in your shorts and T-shirt, I was out there in a puffer jacket and had a beanie in my pocket just in case. Bloody freezing.
So just to clarify for those who perhaps heard the stories a couple of weeks ago, did you get someone to deliver the barbecue and set it up for you, or you did all that yourself?
No, well, it was surrounded Father's Day, so the boys chipped in. I did come home. I was interstate traveling, and I came home and I said, "Oh, boys, if you haven't got anything yet, a new barbecue would be good." And it was just dead silence, pause of about 5 seconds, and one of them turned around and goes, "Well, that means we'd have to take everything else back." Which I, gave to them. I thought, oh, that's a little funny line there.
It's a good save.
But then they surprised me on the actual day with the barbecue that came in a big box, Big Paul. And I said, is that how I get it, or is someone going to put it together? One of them put their hand up, the apprentice Chippy, put his hand up and has knocked it together. And there I was outside. I said, I'll cook the first one. It's my present. I'll cook the first one. But I was thinking of you, Big Paulie, my puffer jacket, freezing, and 13 degrees, feels like 7 in Melbourne. But it will be nice once it's daylight saving and the sun is out, Big Paulie.
Just warming up for summer. That's the way to go. Well, with all your boys, well, they would have only had to put in about $10 each. You got that many boys. Did Chippy Charlie, did he actually have his ticket? Did he have a permit to do that? Did he speak to OH&S about putting the barbie together?
It was Chippy Will. It was Chippy Will that did it. Yes. Yeah,
Charlie would have sat back and supervised, I would have thought, at $80 an hour.
He fitted it in when he was available. So he didn't do it all in one stint, but only lost one screw in the process, and it worked well. I'm pretty happy with it, Big Paulie.
That's good. You cannot beat a barbie, as we've spoken before. And the similar story to mine, I can't own up to putting mine together either. That's what sons are for. My Patrick put mine together as well when I wasn't here, and thank goodness so, because I reckon I'd still be doing it now, Ogre.
That's right. I didn't want to go near it. Now, Big Paulie, our last episode, we had a young copper on, Paddy Cotter. Great episode that it was. We got the insights of the academy into police life. One thing I never asked you was, have you ever been in the back of a divvy van?
How many people listen to this, Ogre? Are we on air? Yes is the short answer to that question.
You have.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up at the time, but there was a little story going back a long time, Ogre, when you were a bit young and silly and perhaps intoxicated.
Of course.
And I may have been walking down a street in Essendon, of all places, just strolling home from a night out at the now defunct Regine Social Club or Disco, whatever it was, the local haunt. And I may have had a few too many drinks, and I may not have seen the police car sort of coming in front of me, and they're blocking my path as I staggered from one side of the footpath to the other, Ogre. And I may have abused them for blocking my path, perhaps not realizing who they were and not showing the respect that I perhaps should have. And, yep, I ended up in the back of the divvy van at the local station and 3 o'clock in the morning, and may have rang old mum and she had to come down. And I tell you what, I'd rather have stayed in the divvy van, Ogre, I tell you what.
Well, I have one big Paulie, and in my situation, I had not had one drink. It was the first time I'd ever told my mum and dad I was going down the pub. I was 17. It was Christmas Eve. Pub I'd been to before, but it was the first time I'd actually told them. Christmas Eve, it was heaving, absolutely heaving, and had multiple bounces on the door. And I thought, oh, shit, what am I going to do here? I bump into someone, and I said, oh, can you go in and see my mate Macca and tell him I'm out the front? So he goes in and tells my mate Macca. This guy then appears again and goes, here you go. He gave me his ID, which in those days didn't need to be a photo. So I go up to the bouncer with ID, and I do not
know. A note from your parents was okay to get you in those days, wasn't it?
I did not know who what my name was on this ID, Big Paulie. So I think they asked me a first question. I was done. I was gone. And he turned around to another bouncer and said, let's ring the cops. I didn't know. I thought they were joking, but I didn't bail. I didn't worry. The cops turned up. They put me in the back of the divvy van in front of all the windows. So the pub is heaving.
Yeah.
And then they just came in. And so I was in there going, okay, let's go. I'm getting out of here now. It's embarrassing. Cop came in, leaned in and goes, oh, where'd you get the ID from? I said, oh, I don't know. He came in, grabbed me by the scruff of the neck.
Grabbed
me by the scruff of the neck and said, tell me who it was. And I've got to shit myself. I look out the window and my mate's starting to walk away really fast. I saw that guy there walking away. They went and grabbed him, threw him in as well. Oh, we went down.
So you're a dibber dobber.
I know.
He's a dibber dobber.
He had me by the scruff of the neck. He wanted me to take one for him.
Remind me to go to war with you, Ogre. Ogre the dibber dobber. My goodness me.
Yeah.
Now, importantly, Macca. As you're back I haven't spoken to Macca for years, have you? While you're in the back of the divvy van, did you hear the old, he's going home in the back of a divvy van, where it went? Did you hear any of that?
So I just said, get us out of here. And not one drink, Big Paulie. Not one. It's embarrassing. Anyway, we live and learn.
Gee whiz.
And tonight we have your guest, Big Paulie. Who have we got for us? Who are we going to learn from tonight?
Well, we talk about barbecues and the putting them together and perhaps a few beers and a walk home from the pub. We are going to talk to a quintessential country man who's lived in the northeast of Victoria. And you and I have talked about fishing often, and I'm not a fisherman, and I don't think you're a fisherman, Ogre. The closest you come to fishing is fish and chips down on a Friday night at the local. But this fella has made a DVD on
what?
Nearly a professional in his own time.
I would call him professional.
We're going to ask him about that. I don't know how we got started, but he's made a DVD. And we're talking DVD, so we are going back a little bit. Now you might find him on YouTube or TikTok or something like that. But he made a DVD about – this is well before Steve Irwin's time. This is well before documentaries on animals and all this stuff. We're going through the river in the Murray River, I think it is, catching cod bigger than you could even imagine. And he made a whole DVD on it. And we're going to ask him about that, and he's going to educate us on cod fishing, fishing in general, and country life. A life well lived as well. Welcome to Clueless, Adam Ace Clark.
Hey, thanks, Paulie and Oaks. Great to be here. I don't know about that introduction, but I'll try and live up to it.
Well, let's start with the obvious, the Clueless. I'm not a fisherman, I can honestly say. And there was once, I have fished, and it actually goes back a few years as well when I was up here at Mooloolaba, and young Patrick was only, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, I think you say, and he decided he wanted to be a fisherman. And we actually lived only a little bit away from the marina there. So day after day, week after week, we'd been up, got the line, put the thing in there, and actually caught a few little, I think they weren't cod. Adam, but they were a little, not whiting or whatever they were, perch, sea perch. Yep. Anyway, this went on for months and they were never quite, I don't know if they were big enough to eat or whatever. And I said, no good, throw it back. This went months after. And I said, finally, we got one that was moderately sized. I think they have to be hand size or something. So I screwed up my hand a little bit and made sure it was past my fist and off we went. I had to watch a DVD in the kitchen while I was filleting it to work out what to do. And by the time I'd finished with it, there was about three pieces of fish, and that was about it. So that's the extent of my fishing. But the great Adam Clark, how do you get into cod fishing, and what's the biggest one you've caught?
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. We live in the Wangaratta Yarrawonga area, which has a ton of great freshwater fishing, and as country boys, I played a bit of cricket, and then, you know, standing in the sun all day, that was just not for me. I bought a little boat and we started, you know, just mucking around, having a few drinks and spending a bit of time with the boys. And then it got pretty serious. So, we got right into it. And then as it turned out, I was learning how to edit videos for a deer hunter who made videos to sell, you know, teaching people how to stalk deer and all that. And I said,
That's a whole other discussion. I can't wait to get into that.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story goes along with that. But I said to him, I might make a fishing movie in the same, you know, in the same vein. So spent 3 years in the boat, walking the banks, carrying a camera with a few mates and just filming everything we caught. Really good times. Got a bit, it's pretty difficult carrying all that gear and fishing at the same time. Drowned a few cameras, you know, lost a bit of gear. But in the end, 3 years later, we put out a DVD called Murray Cod Magic, which was, there hadn't been a cod fishing DVD for a few years. We got about 10,000 stamped back in the day when things weren't digital. Yeah, and we sold them to shops and at markets and things like that. And it really took off and it was a lot of good fun, but a lot of work for, you know, for 40 minutes of...
Let me get this right. So we've been 3 years in the making. I mean, I think Spielberg mm-hmm. took six for some of his good stuff. Yeah. So we're talking three months. We're talking 10,000, what do you call them, runs or 10,000 presses,
yeah,
whatever?
Prints, presses.
I don't know much about the cost of DVDs and what they cost and what you sell, but 10,000 times anything seems like a lot of money to me, Ogre, that this seemed like a fraction profitable. How much coin did we bank?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, we sold them for $40 each and we don't have any left, so you can do the math.
Hang on, let me get the phone calculator.
Pretty popular.
You sold all 10,000.
Income. Yeah. Oh, there's got to be a sequel. Yeah. Murray Cod Magic 2.
Oh, and
I'm up for that.
The interesting thing was I used to get pulled up in the street and say, oh, are you the bloke from Murray Cod Magic? And I'd say, yep. And so I really liked it. I said, oh, where'd you buy it from? Oh, no, I just got a burnt copy off me, mate, so... I've got no idea how many.
So 10,000 dead set legit at $40 a pop. Was there any bulk buy discount or we're banking 400 thou?
No. Well, you know, there was a few expenses that went with that. I had to buy a computer we bought another, upgraded the boat with it.
Sorry.
And
I bought a car. $399,000. Sorry, yeah. And a few slabs along the way.
So, yeah, it was pretty profitable. But the only downside was I probably should have parlayed that into YouTube and other things. And, you know, that's become a really big business and I sort of missed the boat there. I should have kept going and really made something of it. But I'm the sort of bloke who gets right into something and then moves into something else. So, you know, missed the chance there.
I tell you what, Ogre, this feels a lot like Toast Burners, Ogre.
The whole radio show.
For those, again, who've listened previously, we – not quite on the same scale. I think we pressed 100 CDs, Ogre, and we've still got 98 left.
That's right. And we'll give it away too. So I just see – so you got right into something. You thought it could be going on. I get that from the actual name of the DVD, which is Murray Cod Magic Volume 1. So you expect it to be future volumes, but as you said, just got distracted in life and doing other things.
Yeah, well, that's right. We did start Volume 2. We actually had a segment where people would send in their own if they went out with their camera and caught their own video. So we're trying to include, you know, the viewers and get a bit more, but we sort of just run out of legs, got into other things, and yeah, it sort of petered out a bit. Still like me fishing. I moved to Yarrawonga now and lucky to live by Lake Mulwala, so I can walk out the door and catch a fish now. So no need to get in the boat and do all that sort of work.
I don't know, mate. For $400,000, I would have rekindled the interest real quick, I reckon. Because what do you say? We're talking, sorry, Jacob, but we're talking a long time ago too, aren't we, Adam?
Yeah, yeah. That was back in 2000 to 2003 was the filming date, so a while ago now.
Let me just see this, Ogre. I'm going to Google this, Ogre. $400,000 in 2003.
You're caught up. You're caught up on the dollars, Big Paulie. Don't worry about the passion, mate. Who cares about the dollars? He's got a new boat, new car.
Well, you know.
Who knows what else he's done? We haven't got there yet, really, in the early 2000s.
Yeah. We haven't got there. I think it's an extraordinary. This could have been anything. We're talking to greatness. We're talking to the Spielberg of the fishing world. We're talking about. I can't even reel off any famous names fishing people. That's how ignorant I am and clueless about fishing. I can't even give you those people, but that's extraordinary.
Yeah, just in regards to the DVD, Adam, 62 minutes running time. It highlights it was 30 cod being caught.
Yep.
So each, if you split that in half, so it's all the footage you've got, and you through the editing, you've stripped it down to an average of 2 minutes roughly for each fish caught. I mean, that could have taken hours, days, weeks to get the right bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, probably the interesting thing about that was you can't film, like we'd fish for 8 hours at a time in the boat. You can't have the camera running for 8 hours, so I reckon 20 of those fish we caught and then we'd revive it, we'd let it swim back down and then we'd pretend to catch it while the camera was on because there was just, we didn't have a crew. It was just the two of us in a boat or whoever we took out with us. So, there's a little bit of movie magic if you want to call that.
Oh, we love that.
It's a bit like Instagram and TikTok these days. Nothing happens. Everything that happens, they've got a video, but it's the eighth take or something. Now, you talk about reviving a Murray cod. Are we talking mouth to mouth or?
No, just drag it along by the boat, get a bit of water through the gills, and then we let it go back down and pretend to hook it and get all excited when we'd already caught it before. Sometimes if it didn't work or the acting wasn't great, we'd catch it three or four times before it made the cut.
Oh, you reckon it's hard work for you. What about the fish? Poor fish has been dead and revived four times. And
that's movie magic.
Can you eat them? Did you eat them? Not the ones that have been dead seven times, but.
Yeah. Oh, we eat a few. The video was mainly about because cod are considered endangered at the time, so we would catch them and talk about how to care for them properly and let them go, you know, because 50, 60 years ago they were plentiful and they're coming on, they're on the return. They're a lot easier to catch now than they were then. We like to think we went a fair way to helping that. We also sort of bought fishing in kayaks to the forefront. Like not many people were doing that. So we even had a kayak company contact us and we, sort of made a particular vessel that was great for paddling down, small rivers, casting lures to catch fish. So, there was a lot of things come out of it, made a lot of good friends.
You helped design that kayak? Is that what you're saying?
We there's a mob not far from where we live who made just general kayaks for schools and stuff. They wanted a fishing model, so we helped them, sort of set out the, where the seats were, what sort of gear to have on it. Because we just, we'd throw an esky and you could get to water where big boats couldn't get to and that's where there's likely to be more fish.
Wow. Cutting edge.
So it's fair to say you're ahead of your time. You're ahead of your time. So we're going back 20 years. You're doing footage in remote areas, a bit like LB Mangle. Yep. It's just dawned on me, LB Mangle, wrestling alligators or something. And then you're on DVD as a precursor and acting and taking two, three, and four shots and generating the interest.
Editing.
And then
directing.
You've got 40,000 editing, 40,000 reproduction, And marketing, how did you sell, how did you reach 40,000 people to buy?
Well,
I mean, if you, country town, you might say, g'day, Ago, got a, just done a video, mate, come and pay $40 and, yep. you know, hey, tell the bloke down the pub and he'll tell the bloke at the shops and he'll tell the bloke down the racetrack.
Yeah.
40,000 is a lot of stories.
Well, just went to...
Oh, 10,000, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, just into, knocked on, went into fishing shops, said, hey, got this DVD, here's a copy, take it home and look, and if you want to place an order... go for it. And then we were on eBay, pretty popular on eBay, selling, you know, just word of mouth, really. Nothing too, you know. Back then we didn't have, you know, the socials to get on or anything like that. So, yeah.
Imagine if you did.
Well,
imagine.
Should have kept going is the key, but...
But it has been this international marketing and selling stuff has actually been the precursor to another little side venture of yours, yep. which we'll get to in a second.
Absolutely.
But one question lastly about the marketing of the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true, and I don't know if it's true, but is it true that you perhaps encouraged a few people to wander around some of the fishing places and the places of influence and had them ask for the Murray Cod Magic DVD because you've heard all about it and you wanted to buy it and this might have happened 2-3 times, all of a sudden the store's buying 10 or 20 Magic DVDs. That's pretty clever. Yeah. Is that true?
Send the mates into the shop and say, have you got Murray Cod Magic Volume 1? No, I never heard of it, mate. Oh, you got to get it. It's magnificent.
Marketing 101, I think,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Called.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no. Look,
brilliant.
Really good. And it actually parlayed into editing that movie. And now, as I might have discussed, I'm a school teacher. I teach media now and I learn all those skills from, you know, editing that film. So, you know, it's really continued a career, you know.
Worked well.
So it's really good.
Mate, what time is class tomorrow? Me and Oga might turn up because I can't even load an Instagram reel.
Yeah. No, it's good. Actually, I'm teaching podcasting at the minute to my year 10s.
Oh, listen, there's a whole new audience for us there, Big Paulie.
Let's parlay the course.
Told a story today and had your podcast up on the big screen and said,
I'm
being recorded today. We went through all your playlist and listened a bit and took, you know, got a bit of feedback from the kids.
Oh, what have they got for us?
Oh, they enjoyed it.
That's an offline thing, Oga. Yeah, yeah. That's an offline thing, Oga.
So, yeah, it was really good. So,
Adam.
We're spreading your word now.
Oh, we love that. We'll be massive up there. Up at Yarrawonga.
Go easy on Ogre. I mean, you know, I know the kids probably said they liked Big Paulie a bit better and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, it's a team effort. We'll go down together.
Yeah, Ogre. We'll
go
down together. Up. So you're into fishing. Now, just outside the DVD, like Big Paulie sounded like he took his fella Paddy quite regularly. I reckon I've held a rod, let's be correct, fishing rod in my hand less than 10 times, right? Less than 10 times. I've probably taken out more eyeballs into people around me than I would have after catching a fish. So you got into that when you were younger. What's the longest you've ever spent on the water?
Oh, gee. Well, one day in the kayaks, we went out, started about 7 in the morning, and we used to have a little a handheld GPS that had the map so we sort of knew where we were. We paddled for 8 hours, casting lures, fishing, and we come across a camp, and the guys pulled us over. It was getting dark, and we said, we're just heading down to this next bridge. And the bloke said, that's, you know, 4 or 5 hours away. So, you know, we've spent 12 hours at a time, you know, just paddling along. Might camp on the side of the river if we have to, but, you know, anything to get into those real backwaters where no one gets to.
You camp outside and then go again?
Yeah, back in the kayak again or the boat and off you go. Throw the swag in the boat, you know, do whatever you need to do.
Every time you've talked about fishing, you've said we. Do you ever go out on your own?
No, I've never gone. I'm not interested in, sitting in the boat.
Because that'd be boring.
Yeah, or sitting in the boat and talking to your mate and having a few beers and telling stories or theorising on how to catch a fish is probably more exciting than fishing. And freshwater fishing is a very hit and miss thing. Like in the sea, you catch a lot of fish quite regularly, fresh water, if you catch 3-4 fish or 1 an hour, you're having a really good day. So it's quite a different, okay. You know, and it's a lot, there's no one around, you see a lot of wildlife, that sort of stuff. So it's really good. Sort of a rite of passage for young country boys.
And I think there's a rule. I think there's a rule in fishing as well, Oga, that I quite like. You know, if you're going out on the water, I think it's boys only. Is that right, Adam? Boys only. No girls allowed.
Yep. No.
And the Essie's full.
Exactly. Or empty at the end.
And freshwater fishing, freshwater fishing versus sea fishing. There's a little old saying, you know, you never take a banana on a boat because it's bad luck. Does that apply?
Yep.
Does that apply for Take whatever you like.
No, nothing fresh water. We just, it's just about getting out with the boys and having a good time.
Okay. So
help catch a fish. So
I've never heard the banana story.
Yeah. Well, no, that's
Now, it's very true.
So walk me through this. Big Paulie wandering up to the Murray River. He's got my 10-ounce line and my Shimano.
A bit more than that, but yeah.
And my Shimano rod and reel. And I say to myself as I wander up, I'm going to catch a big Murray cod. So you haven't answered the question. First of all, how big is the biggest one? And then tell me, Big Paul is coming up with his 10-ouncer, his Shimano gear, maybe the waders, no kayak. I'll have to get one, hire one from Jimmy, the high man on the side of the river. How can I catch a Murray cod?
Yeah. Well, to answer your first question, the biggest one I've caught is 126 centimetres. So that, and you know, about 80 pound. That was actually just outside the house.
Big.
Well, it was a bit of a mixed catcher because my young fella Cooper and my daughter Mackenzie were playing on the Xbox. They have the fishing rods in, sort of modern fishing this is. You know, they can hear put a bell on it. When the bell rings, you run out and catch the fish. So it doesn't really require the patience that I'd like from fishing, but my daughter Mackenzie ran out and said, oh, we've got a fish. She's winding. She's going, oh, it's stuck. I said, oh, give me a go. And I wound in and, at 126, you can barely pick it up at that size. You know, it's a massive, massive fish. Like you can put your head in its mouth. So that's probably the biggest one I've caught.
Hang on. Are you claiming that, Adam, because you pulled it in, or is that half a Mackenzie? So it sounds
well,
of things.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of debate in the house. There's a big photo in our hallway of it, and I'm holding it, so I'm claiming it.
Yeah, you've got the evidence.
But that's sort of the over a meter is the sort of the goal of, you know, the golden mark of Murray cod fishing. That's what everyone's chasing, something over a meter. The real key to fishing for Murray cod is just throw your rod in somewhere where there's a lot of wood, like a lot of fallen trees, because that's where they hang out, you know, and just whether it's your bait or your lure, anywhere around a, you know, deep bend with a lot of wood in it, you're a fair chance to catch one.
Big Paulie's a chance. He's
absolutely
heading up with his Shimano 10-ounce, a bit of wood on the side, a bit of a bend. Now, does it need to be windy, cold, sunny?
Nah, anything will do. Wind. Preferably no wind and that, but lots of sun. They're a bit more active in the summer. They're a bit more likely to catch one.
Yeah. I was on a work meeting recently, Adam, in Teams online, and we were both working from home. A guy in the background had a bookcase behind him filled with DVDs.
Don't tell me he had the Murray cod magic.
No,
it never came out. Never came out that he did. But through that chat, he goes, oh, this is all I've got left. I've thrown away heaps of them. Mm-hmm. And then through that conversation, he said, I don't even have a DVD player. I just haven't rid of these yet. Do you still have a DVD player? And do you bring out volume one, the magic volume one, every now and then just to see what you look like 20 plus years ago?
No, I haven't seen it for a long time. I've got one copy at home still. Actually, the kids for my birthday framed a copy with the cover. I've got that, but I've actually got one sealed copy. I think you can still see it. I sold the rights to the Australian Fishing Network for their digital platform. I don't know if it's still on it. I'm not getting any money from it, so I don't know how many people are watching it. It's probably showing its age now. The quality's not as great as, you know, the new stuff. I don't know anyone who's still watching it or – But I still get a few people stop me and ask me if I'm, you know, that, because I made sure myself was on the front cover and things like that, even though there's a lot of other people in it. But yeah, look, no, to the answer your question, I haven't seen it for a long time.
I'll give you
time.
The tip. It probably hasn't changed much.
I mean, when you edit it.
It hasn't changed much.
Nah. But when you edit something for like hours upon hours, the last thing you want to do is watch it again. Editing it, I just saw enough of it to never want to see it again.
I'm all for volume two.
Love it. Love it. I want to go back to the deer hunting though. The deer hunter.
Yeah.
You'd been engaged for the deer hunter.
Yeah, well,
and was he doing a similar thing to you?
Yeah, well, he was the foremost deer hunter. He's still alive. He's a fair bit older than me, but he was the foremost deer hunter in Australia, and he sold a lot more than I did. He had 10 or 12 DVDs I edited for him. But I worked for him it's a bit of an interesting story from people in the city, as a professional exterminator. So we would go and go to farms and rice fields and cherry orchards and dispatch animals that were causing crop damage or overrunning farms and stuff like that. So probably not everyone's cup of tea, but, you know, you're doing the right thing for the farmer. But, yeah, so it'd be kangaroos, rabbits, crows, wombats, that sort of stuff. So
I heard you say you relocate the animals. Is that correct?
Into the ground.
Well, so how do you get rid of them?
What happened to the deers?
We've moved on to extermination now.
Well, the deers are different. You can, you know, the harder to see a deer. It's a lot easier to see a deer now. Like in our area, you got to watch out for deer on the road. But back in that, you know, in the early 2000s, if you saw a deer, that was a pretty magical sort of rare occurrence. But the other animals, they're just
rare occurrence. So to look at and be admired, or a rare occurrence, reach to the back of the ute and get the shoddy out. Which one?
Well, both, really. But you know, they're becoming a bit of a pest, actually, the deer at the minute. But yeah, that was a fun job for a while. Certainly, you know, had one job where I had to exterminate a heap of crows from a school that were stealing lunches from the primary school kids, and tipping their bins over. Yeah. So,
and how do you get rid of them?
As in, with a firearm. Yeah.
Authorized and legal, of course, for those listening at home, with a permit.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, all that, like the parks people have to come in and give you a permit. You have to go and remove this amount of animals to help the farmer, or often it's overpopulation, particularly with kangaroos. There might be a thousand of them in an area, and they got no food. They're wrecking the crops, that sort of stuff.
But for the crows at school, now let me just walk you through this. So the crows at school on Tuesday, we've got assembly. On Wednesday, we've got a fire drill. And on Thursday, we've got get rid of the crows. Kids, don't be alarmed. We're just shooting crows for fun here. They'll be done by lunchtime. Don't be alarmed. Go along with your business. Is that how that worked? Yes.
Well, I don't know how much people want to know about it, but it'd be a Saturday morning. We'd put signs up around the school that, you know, that was taking place. We would use fake crows and sit them out in the park, and then we'd be inside the classroom picking them off out of the classroom.
Oh, God.
Just picking them off.
Yeah.
Oh, the country ogre. The country.
It probably doesn't happen often in Melbourne, but yeah.
No.
She's a different place.
Well, I reckon I've held a gun as many times as I've held a fishing rod, but yeah.
What about the poor crow who's not guilty, Your Honour, and was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, just having a bit of a chin wag with his mates, and he's gone, he's gone. He didn't even touch the lunches.
Don't ask questions, mate.
Give him the invoice.
Pull the trigger.
Just with the crows, would you have to get rid of all of them, or they'd soon get an idea that there's danger in that school ground and get out?
Well, yeah, after a while. Yeah, that's right. You'd get a few early and then you'd wait a bit, and they were, you know, they're pretty persistent. So they're pretty plump. We're talking.
Well, there's no crows. Hey, crow, stop. This is the exterminator. Put up your wings. Put down your beak. Nothing
Freeze,
like
motherfucker.
That. Just bang.
Nah.
Golly.
A little sneak attack, mate. They didn't see it coming. Didn't feel a thing.
Humane then.
Mate, I've been in a new place for not very long, Adam, and I've had to pick up the rubbish off the ground near the rubbish bin a number of times. Yep. I'm going, bloody crows. I'll have to get myself a gun just ring scare Adam. Them off. But Jesus.
I know it sounds unsavory, but you really are, doing it. It's a real need, not just crows, but they were only on the odd occasion. But, you go to a cherry farmer, might lose half his crop to crows. So, and it's not without, the wildlife people okay in it. So
very
I want to make that clear
yes.
before.
No, there's no doubt about that. Well, those crows, they're big things sometimes. So you see them sometimes on those bins, and they are as big as your head. Like, they are big, big things.
Yeah,
we need to get you, Adam, up here on the Sunshine Coast, because I don't know if you've been the Sunshine Coast, but they have these bush turkeys, right? And they just literally wander around anywhere, on the beach, on the road. I actually took a picture of one last week at work. There's a work site, so there's all the workers and the trucks and everything. This bush turkey was literally walking through the gate. So I posted it on our team group chat that the supervisor had been called for an OH&S meeting, and here's this bush turkey going through the gates in the main street of work. Unbelievable. So we might have to get you up for the bush turkeys, I reckon.
What's wrong with them?
Nothing, but they're just everywhere, and they don't add anything, I don't think. I don't know. They're a bit like the crows. They're just pains in the ass. They don't hurt you. Mate, you could nearly feed them.
Got to go.
Oh, I don't know. Fair income. Well, gee, you've had an interesting work life and teaching as well, so that's probably as pretty boring by the sounds of it compared with everything else. Now teaching, you were head of IT, so we probably should somewhere other. We should have got you a few weeks back when we had some IT problems. That would have been a helpful ogre. but kids, how do you manage kids? I reckon shooting crows and catching cod would be a lot better than trying to teach and educate kids these days.
Yeah, look, it's certainly got a bit harder. Kids aren't as motivated as they used to be, I don't reckon. I would say the biggest problem is they're just reluctant to, unless they're going to be successful, they're reluctant to have a go at many things. They're not really, the way society's set up these days, failure's, not something kids get much of. And I reckon if I could change anything about the kids I teach, it would be to have a go more often at things they might be unsuccessful at. Everyone's keen to do things they're really good at, but if they're not good at it, that persistence isn't there. But they're still, they're still really good people. And especially where I teach, it's, pretty easy going. We don't have much trouble teaching the kids. It's more just whether they'll really, have a go at things they're not very good at.
How can they determine whether they're going to be good at something if they can't give it a go?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? That's where it lies. Like, we had some positions open for some responsibility there a couple of weeks ago, and a few of the kids would say, I was trying to rally some support for these kids to apply for the job, and they were happy to take the job if they knew they were going to be successful. I said, look, there's three or four other kids, want to do it. No, I'm right, thanks. But if I was going to give them the job there and then, they would take it. Yeah. And I reckon it's just down to, I don't want to look like, I suppose it's a bit like, I'd rather not try and
fail
rather than have a go and then fail.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. That's a real change.
And when do you think that change happened? Is it parents or previous teachers just handing out ribbons for the sake of it, or parents letting their kids win? Like, my school of thought at home is, I'm not letting them win anything, game of cards, a game of table tennis.
Yeah, exactly.
Because one day they will beat me, and hopefully they enjoy that achievement and continue on. But why would I let them win when they're five, and then when they're eight, they go, I'm not playing you, Dad, because I can beat you easily.
Yeah. And you're spot on. And I think, if I had to answer that question, I'd probably say people of my generation, the parents now are probably the ones to blame, because kids don't start off like that. They're willing to have a go early on. I don't reckon phones and, if you failed before, not many people knew. Now everyone can post about it. I don't reckon that helps. Kids are just told how good they are and how they'll be all right, but it's not really setting them up for the real world, I don't reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, I love a bit of competitiveness as well.
For the record, we're talking obviously secondary kids that Adam teaches.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm secondary. That's right.
Yeah. So, mate, hats off to you and all the teachers out there listening. Yeah. It's a job that I certainly couldn't do.
Oh, I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, the 28 weeks off a year always helps, as they say. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
Underpaid, it's a job. Paul. Just underpaid, Paulie.
It's like volunteering these days.
No real estate agent money here.
Tough job. You can have that one. I've got a family of teachers and, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. Yep. So we've talked cod fishing. I think I'm not far off, headed down the highway to catch the first cod. Again, if it doesn't look that flash the first time, I'll resuscitate the fish and do it again and again and again and make sure we're on TikTok.
Yeah, you want to be gramming it or talking it, wouldn't you, Big Paulie? Oh, take it again. Give me a look. You'd zoom in on your face as well. You'd zoom in on you or the cod.
Tinder, Grinder, Grinder, whatever it is, I don't know, Swipe, whatever, I don't know where you put it these days, but it will be out there for that.
Just on that point, Big Paulie, I have been out on the apps in the past couple of years in following a relationship breakdown, but the big no-no from the female world was don't like someone who's holding a fish or with a fishing rod in there. It's a no-go zone at all.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be your profile pick. I think it no fishing rod.
No.
Probably not a VB stubby either. It's probably not a good idea, I reckon. Maybe.
I don't think a gun and a heap of crows helps either.
And maybe not a handful of crunched up TAB tickets either. So that ain't going to help you in a hurry, I reckon. So you've had a big life, Adam. Done a lot of things up, but important things, obviously, as we've spoken about. But I think you're pretty handy at the footy as well. Is that fair to say in your heyday? We've gone so mega movie star and director Spielberg, and now we're disciplinarian to the kids and making them all better people. Great things. We've killed off the crow population.
You've introduced the Clueless show into your classroom. Great work.
One of your greatest achievements amongst all those, I would have thought. But footy. There was a story that you could have just about made it at the top level. Perhaps if you spent more time practicing footy than catching cod, you could have done that. But you've had a pretty illustrious country career, I think. Talk us through that and a couple of highlights. I know a couple of big numbers. I know you don't like talking about it, but if you don't, we will.
No, look, I love me footy. Just like in the city, country, footy's big in the country. It's where, because we're in much smaller towns, everyone plays for the same town. But, yeah, had a bit of success playing in, I've played all over the place, but in Ballarat, at Tarrawingee, which is a little town outside of Wangaratta, and I played O&M footy as well. So, yeah, enjoyed me footy, but had a bit of interest early on from the city, from a couple of AFL clubs, but just I wasn't ready at the time when they asked, and to be fair, probably didn't have the aptitude required to make it, the highest level. A bit lazy, I suppose, would be the right term.
Too busy shooting and fishing, maybe. So
yeah, well, that stuff appealed to me more than playing footy.
So we've been very, very fortunate, Ogre, on our last few podcasts. We have had the quasi mayor of Yarrawonga, Luke Disco Clark, who Adam, correct. You know well. Have had the mayor of Torquay, Scotty Dell, mm-hmm. with his barbecues, and I think it's fair to say if this man here, Adam Clark, walked down the streets of Tarrawingee, mate, they don't know him there for his 10,000 DVDs. They know him as the Jason Dunstall or the king of the gold square at Tarrawingee. Yep. Now, tell me if I was wrong. Was it 20 goals one day? Nine in the last quarter?
18. Oh, that was actually that's an interesting story. I played for Sebastopol in the Ballarat League, and after a misdemeanor at one of our club functions, got dropped into the twos.
Oh, golly.
Wasn't too impressed about that, to be fair, but had a day out after being dropped and kicked 18 in the twos. But the interesting story about that was didn't get a game in the ones next week after kicking 18.
Oh, what are you gonna do?
Whiz, that's rough.
So that was rough. That was Dwayne Russell.
It might have been a bigger misdemeanor. Was it a bigger misdemeanor than you whacking out for me?
Well, it wasn't something I'm proud of, Ogre, but it was more of a retaliation than anything I started. But
always the way the retaliator gets caught.
But how do you back up 18 in the twos? And when you get another roll in the twos, did you just crack another bag?
I was playing at full forward, obviously, that day, and then got moved into the centre, which is where I typically played, in the middle. Not that many goals the next week. But after that, sort of moved back into the seniors and was right for the rest of the 4 years I was there. But, yeah, played a lot of footy at Tara. We won a couple of flags.
Captain?
Captain of the premiership team, yep.
Tattoos? Tattoo to celebrate?
No tattoos. Not my thing. Big Paulie, not my thing. The old man to kill me.
When you kick 18 goals, how many do you miss? Did you miss any that day?
I actually missed 7. It was pretty windy. So I started off, I think I kicked 5 points to begin with. But the other team sort of fell away, and I think I kicked 9 in the last. And become, you know, but it was a bit of a howling breeze, so it was. I got a lot of opportunities.
Just give it to me, lads. Yeah. I'll do the rest.
Get everybody out of the field, the forward line. Just show it up to me. I had a couple of big. Now I know it's not about me, Ogre and Adam, but it never is.
But we spend a lot of time about you.
I only had 2 good games in my life, and then I kicked 8 as well. And this is in the seconds, VFA seconds, and I was on the cusp of making the senior debut. I was pretty chuffed about it, actually, to be honest. And in those days, you know, they read the side. You don't get the team read out on Thursday. I don't know. I'd kicked 8 in the seconds, and kicked my last one about probably 10 minutes. Oh, no, it was a bit longer than that. All the senior boys are out watching the game just before they win. So probably third quarter or something. I'd kicked 8 nearly by 3-quarter time. And anyway, I remember, you know, roved it beautifully off the pack, you know, rose into an open goal through the goal square, kicked it and turned to the crowd and said, "That's 8. And I thought, that's fantastic. I'm in the next week. And like you, Adam, I did not get another game. And there was one other day, gents, that I did kick 8-6, Ogre, in answer to your question, how many you kick. And again, I won't self-indulge. That's an interesting story for another time as well. But what do you mean
you won't self-indulge?
No. I'm
surprised we didn't get kicked. I was the third quarter and I said to the crowd, that's 8, you know. It's like,
it's not about me. Okay, how many you kicked? What's your best?
My best is 3.
For the year or a quarter or?
3-1.
3-1.
3-1.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Who are we talking to, Adam? 3-1.
It's not bad from fullback.
you were a defender, were you? Yeah. So we're the king of Tarrawingee.
Yep, love me footy, man.
So footy, fishing and golf as well.
Yeah, love me golf.
Handy golfer. Yep. I've had the pleasure of, lazy handicap
the Matador.
Update. You've heard of the Matador?
I've heard of the Matador. He's more famous in Yarrawonga than any Murray Cod fisherman, I can tell you.
Oh, I don't know about that. But golf, handy player, handicap these days.
Yeah, yep. Love me golf. I'm at 8 at the minute. I'm fading.
Fading with age?
Yeah, it's a bit of time commitment, but I love me golf. There's nothing. It sort of replaced fishing where the place I go and hang out for me mates.
Yeah, okay.
Not too serious about it, but, yeah, I love playing. So, especially when the big Paulie makes his way down to Yarrawonga.
Yes.
AKA the Matador.
The listeners have heard the Matador story.
Do you have the white belt as well, Adam?
No.
Well, he could wear the white belt. He's sub 10, so he's entitled to wear the white belt. So that's okay. So we might bring one up for
not
you.
Not a chance. Huh? No.
And Adam is the most.
Not for me. I'm an.
He's a laid back golfer. We're talking board shorts, runners, maybe socks. And a fishing t-shirt. And
no gloves.
No glove. That's it. Carries his own bag. We're talking old school, okay? Old school golfer, but just
eight sticks doesn't need 14.
No, just
give me eight.
No, and bang bang, very very handy. Now I did see something, Adam, which did remind me of you actually this week. There was a fella. I might have been scrolling on TikTok or Instagram as well, and there's a fella I came across who's made a living diving for golf balls. Now you're an entrepreneur, and you dive for golf balls at the Black Bull course there, which is your home course.
That's correct.
And once or twice a year, in under the water, Ogre, Adam goes with the golf professional and they get there. How does that – do you get bitten? Do you get bulls? How many do you get? Can we make any money from that? Like this real estate caper, you know, I'm looking for a bit of a side hustle. Right now I'm going to do me cod fishing, I think, and get some video material going, or dive for golf balls. Which one's more lucrative?
Well, I mean, I don't make any money out of the diving for golf balls. That's just a favour for a friend, maybe a few golf lessons here and there. But, yeah, we jump in. I think about 4 or 5 hours, you get 4,000 or 5,000 balls.
What?
And he sells them for $1 each. But yeah, there's a few leeches and a few things like that to deal with, but nothing you can't handle. But, yeah, there's balls everywhere.
So is that one waterway, one lake, or is it across a number of holes?
Yeah, there's quite a few little dams. Yeah, so there's a couple of, you know, quite prominent waterway sections of the course where when you put your hands down in the water, that's all you can feel. Like you can pick 20 balls up at a time. Like it's incredible the amount of golf balls that are, you know, it is a whole year worth of playing and the course is very popular, so... And there's quite a bit of water, but yeah, just more balls than you could, you know, possibly deal with. But he takes them home, scrubs them up, a bit of work in selling them, but yeah, there's a lot of golf balls
just
to
recycling,
be found. That's
really,
for sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely. I'm amazed, continually amazed at the amount of balls that are in that lake.
Yes, well, I've had some okay games of golf and lost 3 balls in water, 4 balls in water. I've had terrible games of golf and haven't lost the ball. So it's like it's the mystery of.
I've lost 3 or 4 balls by the second hole, Ogre. So the balls that Adam's getting out of the water, mostly mine, I reckon. So this guy's name was Sam Harrison, a 30-year-old treasure hunter who dives into murky golf course ponds to scoop up the ball players leave behind. In the US, golfers lose. How many golf balls do you reckon US golfers lose every year? I don't know if this is true, but it sounds true.
In the whole country.
In the whole country.
You have to be in...
My word,
10 million.
Higher.
It'd be more. Higher. It'd be 100 million, I reckon.
I don't know.
500 million.
Lower.
I don't know the answer.
No, hey, it's on TikTok or Facebook or something. It must be true. In the US, golfers lose around 300 million balls every year, which means a steady supply for anyone brave enough to dive. Some pros in the niche make up to 200K a year. I mean, 200K a year diving for golf balls. I mean, it's no Murray Cod video production scenes or money, but there's real risks like snakes, gators, and obviously they're underwater. No, there's no gators or crocodiles. There's a few snakes surely up there trying to fight you for the balls, I'd reckon.
Yeah, yeah. The young fella stood on a snake last time we were out. I've never seen anyone walk on water like that before. He was done.
Me too. I'd be with him. What about in the water when you're diving for the balls? Any snakes and stuff in there?
No, none in the water. Mainly on the edge. The only real big problem is there's quite a few big leeches, like, you know, as big as your middle
like
finger. You know, you just pull them off and move on.
Throw them back in.
Yeah, voila. Yeah. Now, we know who that is, a man of great repute on the golf course. But your nickname is Ace.
Yeah,
how
correct.
Did you get that nickname?
Yeah, I'm not really – I'd like to say it's from being really ace at something, which is a bit of an old school term, but I think it is more down to just the fact that Adam Clark, AC, I used to get AC a bit. And then it just become ace. There's not really any origin story to it. It's just stuck, and pretty much everyone calls me that, which, you know, except for my wife.
It sounds better than the Matador.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey. Well, hey, Ogre's not real inventive either, by the way.
I'd be interested in how Ogre got his name.
It's just a shortening of the surname. That's all right. But, you know, everyone spells it. Yeah. Everyone spells it wrong. Yeah, and everyone thinks it's Shrek. And then they look at me, the golden boy. I can't fish. I'll shoot a gun.
Now, last question, I think, and it is a personal one. Now, Ogre might be getting married again.
Oh, dear.
So,
yeah.
You got married in a different circumstance. So you listen up, Ogre, just in case you get the urge again. And you got married, not traditional, more Ace style. So tell us your wedding. How did it pan out? And why did you go down that route?
The short story is you got married in Vegas, but unlike most Vegas weddings. Well, there's a bit of story to that, but unlike most Vegas weddings, it wasn't just an off-the-cuff thing. I'd spent a bit of time in America. I lived in America for a couple of years and took my wife over to meet some of the people I lived with and stuff, and we decided to get married in Vegas. Showed up at some little church down in downtown Vegas. The guy says, what religion do you want to do it in? Do you want Elvis to marry her? I said, nah, just give us the cheapest version. I want to get in and out. So I was like, I think it was $150, took 7.5 minutes, in and out. Beautiful. The only downside was my mum didn't talk to me for 2 years after it.
Because she wasn't there.
Yeah, because she spat it. Not happy that she wasn't invited. So I highly recommend it as a way to get married, but not if take your mum is the moral to that story.
and it lasted how long?
Well,
it lasted. No, it's still going, but remains to be seen.
Successful. We'll call it successful.
Yeah. I'm getting me money's worth, put it that way. Yeah. $125 worth.
US.
Yeah, US. Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Well. Well, what a story. I can't believe, Ogre, we start somewhere on these chats and sometimes we go places we have no idea where we're headed. So thank you for sharing. Adam Ace Clark, thank you for being our guest on Clueless. And, mate, we'll catch up soon and we might take up that invitation, Ogre, and head to Yarrawonga for a weekend of fishing, crow shooting.
The golf.
What else was there? I think the golf, yes, of course. Matador might find one day. I think I'll pass on the ball diving thing. You can do that, Ogre. Hey, what a weekend. Well, let's make it a weekend that lasts for a month.
That's on the Clueless Tour. Good on you, AC. Right, Ace Clark. Love it. Good on you, Adam.
It's a pleasure. Cheers, boys. Mate. Thank you.
See you, Adam. Thanks for joining us, mate. See you. Good night.
Well, big Paulie. We went a lot of places there. Started with the Murray Cod Magic Volume 1, deer hunting, crow shooting, exterminating, school teaching, media, podcast. We're in the classroom today, Paulie. You and me were in the classroom today.
Oh, we are getting famous. Soon, you've heard of Hamish and Andy Ogre, but Ogre and Big Paulie, they are on the march. So if you need big producers out there, if you need to get hold of us, you know where to get hold of us. But, there's a lot of topics and a bit of a hint for you, Ogre, there, if you're contemplating, going around a second time. Me, I'm headed down the highway with my Shimano and my 10-ounce rod or whatever
it
is.
I'd love to see you with you.
And,
I'd love to see you with your waders on trying to get into the kayak.
if a bloke is going to drown with his waders on getting in the kayak, it will be me, okay? Guarantee you. But we'll be in good company. The man of the Murray, he'll take care of us. He'll be a perfect host, no doubt. So we've got a lot to look forward to over summer.
Paulie, I've told you there's been some editing in this podcast, but the editing in the video, the DVD, and he said, sometimes we record it, we pretend we throw it back in, and we don't like the acting, we throw it back in. 3 or 4 times they might catch the same fish.
that. Well, yeah, think of the poor fish, do you? And what about the poor fish? Did he have to go and act dead twice or three times? Who knows?
Well, he might have to go back to acting school, yeah. Fish.
I don't think
he got thrown back in.
I don't think they'd come up with that catch and release by then. It was a long time ago. All legal, of course. All legal, of course. Okay.
And the 126 centimetre, well, I don't know. I think his daughter Mackenzie might have half claim to that. I mean, she planted the rod. She might have pulled it in.
I haven't got past the 40 episodes at the 10,000. Still, I can't say it right. 10,000 DVDs at $40. My calculator's still going around in circles with that, and I can't believe with those sort of numbers you'd lose interest, Ogre. I'd be still out there on the Murray River right now, I reckon.
Well, you'll be listening to another episode of Clueless with Ogre and Big Paulie. Special guest tonight, Adam Clark. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you learned something. Hope you had a few laughs. Thank you, Big Paulie.
Thank you, Ogre. And we'll be back next time with another edition of Clueless, where you and we hopefully learn something.
You've been listening to another episode of Clueless with Ogre and Big Paulie. Follow, like, subscribe, even leave a review. Do it all. We'd love to hear from you.